the idea that Republicans, in order to win an election, say we need to hermetically seal the border when they know that that would be, that is economic self-sabotage to the U.S. economy. And they are saying, let's do it anyway. And to compensate for the negative effects, we're going to allow and throw people's kids into factories. That is what they are doing in rolling back child labor laws while being as xenophobic and anti-immigrant as they are. And while ginning up this false narrative about this being a crisis. And by the way, by then also preventing and blocking any legislation that would provide not just a path to citizenship, but a path to work papers.
I want to be that drunk. Can I start out my Friday or my Monday like that?
Happy Monday.
No, for real. Can I start out my Monday like that? I mean, she goes on television and says this stuff. I mean, I'm just curious. So that's I don't need to tell you who that is. You know, that's your favorite bartender. That's your favorite bartender, guys. That's AOC saying that this is all the stuff at the border. It's not. I watched a video montage today, or was this morning, and it was a bunch of sound bites taken from a number of Democrats. I was trying to remember who all it was. Over the weekend, like over the cable news talk show circuit. And they were all trying to say that, well, you know, there's really not that big of an issue with the border as you may think. And they were really trying to play it down. And I don't know. I just got questions about how Republicans are handling this, because this seems like a gimme. And I don't know why, but Republicans are having a hard time, I think, messaging on this. So we're going to discuss it. We got a few things to hit. It's kind of a slow news day, but there's some things definitely to keep you up to date on. In fact, it's supposed to be 90 degrees here in Texas, and why it's so cold right now, I don't know. I'm about to murder things. I mean, it needs to make up its ever-loving mind. Dana Loesch here with you at the top of this very first hour. And so starting out with this story, the immigration thing, and this story is really starting to hit the... We had it as a headline last week, and I assumed that it would be more, well, not assumed. I conservative media and some other like actual, you know, people who write about immigration were covering it. But for the most part, the legacy press has kind of ignored this story. I mean, for the most part, it's this story of this illegal alien, that's the legal term, who entered into the country, and this guy had a record already, right? And apparently he was released, though, before ICE could get a detainer on him. He left Texas, and then he went to New York City. He found work as an Uber driver. He ended up making his way... according to the reports, this individual, he ended up making his way to Georgia. This guy was, I mean, at the gross negligence that allowed him to go all this. I went from Texas all the way to New York, New York to Georgia. And then he murdered student Lake and Riley. And again, he was arrested because New York is a sanctuary state. He was arrested and then released before ICE could get that detainer on him. He was arrested last September because he's a creeper. In fact, he was charged with acting in a manner to injure a child less than 17 and also a motor vehicle license violation. But because, of course, you know, as Bill Malugin noted with the charging docs, this 26-year-old illegally from Venezuela... He unlawfully entered in September of 2022 near El Paso. He was arrested by New York PD just not even 8 days later, and he was going after a kid. But the immigration's out of Atlanta lodged a detainer. Yeah, not gonna happen. I mean, ICE confirmed it. He entered illegally. They confirmed that he previously had tried to prey upon a child. And this guy was released. He was allowed to go. I mean, that's ICE. When they learn that someone is in the country illegally, and they when they believe that they are, I don't understand this phrase, removable illegal immigrant, because I think if you're here illegally, ever you're removable, period. They lodge this detainer, right? That it's a request that asks local law enforcement to keep the creeper or the criminal or the perp or the illegal immigrant in custody until they can be transferred and put into these proceedings for deportation. But ICE says that this guy was released before they could even get a detainer out. And that's kind of what New York City does. They do that. They will, because it's a sanctuary city. And sanctuary cities, this is what they do. So they release this guy who's able to walk. And then they ICE confirmed this. This guy's wife said that they were in El Paso for 5 days before they came up to New York. She said, we got married so we could join our asylum cases. So they weren't, it sounded like a marriage of convenience right there. And so then he goes and he kills this student who is at Augusta University, a nursing student. She was found dead Thursday. She had attended UGA. She entered the nursing program at the Athens campus. She made the dean's list. Super smart student. So they charged him with malice murder, felony murder, aggravated battery, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, kidnapping, hindering a 911 call, and concealing the death of another. He was in court Saturday over the weekend. And his brother is also charged with being on a fraudulent green card. So this guy murders this student. Her death could have been prevented. Her death could have been prevented. Sanctuary city policies are killing people. How many young women have to be murdered brutally at the hands of illegal immigrants before Democrats act like they give a damn about women? What about the right of women in the United States to be able to go to school and be able to walk around on campus without having to worry about being raped and murdered and savaged by people who are here illegally? Because this is like a handful of them now. I'm not sitting here playing the chick card, but I'll be damned. Go and look at the number of people, and then you go and weigh the amount of women who are being preyed on and compare that to the amount of men who are being preyed on. And then you come back and you tell me what's greater. So all these people that are out there saying there isn't really a problem at the border, I mean, you could tell Lack and Riley that, but she's dead, so you can't, because your policies killed her. This is just crazy. These are the immigration policies that this administration has in place. There ought to be a rally in Georgia. There should be a rally in Athens-Clarke County. I know that they're going down to the border, but what are you going to do at the border? I mean, I'm so tired of lawmakers going down and looking at the same section of sanitized border that they all look at. I'm so tired of it. The same little section of sanitized border. They all go look at the same thing every single time. They go and make repeated trips down there. They stage these press conferences at these processing sites that have been entirely cleared. But there should be, they should have, I mean, good grief, Republicans should be working with this family. Because if you want to push this issue and get this issue taken care of, do you think that Democrats wouldn't do this? Before you think it's in bad taste, do you think they wouldn't do this? The same Democrats that were there at Parkland High School the night of the massacre, harassing parents, harassing people like some of my friends who lost their children, harassing them with their completely astroturf Bloomberg anti-gun groups. Oh, yeah. That happened. They had a PR firm and everything ready to go. You didn't know that, did you? Anita Dunn was part of it. She was in the Obama administration. She was down there taking pictures with people not even 2 days out. Got them, if you ever want to see them. So this is what Republicans need to focus on. If Nikki Haley was smart, they would... her campaign would focus on this. She and Trump would have they ought to have a competition to see who could focus on this more. So we got some 2024 stuff. She got politically murdered in her home state, which you knew was going to happen. She says she's going all the way to Super Tuesday. Here's something incredibly telling too. The Koch brothers, they've decided Koch Industries. Remember Koch Industries, this is what's interesting. Koch Industries was on the same page as the Tea Party back in the Tea Party days, because everybody was standing against the healthcare bill and too big to fail and all of this stuff. And this was some things that the Koch brothers were against, right? They were also against that stuff. But they've always been kind of moderate on things. But every now and then you have convenient alliances. Well, they pulled the plug on her net or her campaign, the Koch network. They pulled the plug on her. They had been backing her. In fact, they were one of her bigger multi-billion dollar backers. And now they've pulled the financial support for it, because they said in a statement that they got to take stock of where the race is going. And this is AFP, Americans for Prosperity Action. That's their political action group, the Koch brothers. They said they got to take, you know, they got to take inventory of where this race is going. And they don't think that she's the best candidate. She's, I mean, at this point, they said any money that they put into this, it's not going to move the needle. And I know a lot of people get at, I don't like their support of Haley. But I will say that one of the reasons you were able to have a lot of Tea Party victories in some of these early states is because they had that alliance, a lot of grassroots people that found a very interesting alliance with AFP and all of that. So a lot of people who think politics began the day that they just, you know, they decided to go through puberty and realize that Reagan was a man and he was in the White House before, that think that history and politics began the day that they had this realization. That's kind of the history with that. So it's very interesting. But they're getting out of the Haley race, and she's going to keep going for some reason. She thinks, honestly, I think she believes that this is... I was having a conversation with a friend of mine earlier on this, and they said, is there any potential that she looks at this like this is kind of like a Tea Party 2.0 and that it's going to peter out? But the thing with the Tea Party is that, and I was one of the first people to say this, is that any movement that stays on a little too long becomes a grift, right? Every movement, it has a sunset. That's the natural state of things. Anything that goes on too long, it becomes a grift. And so she thinks, I guess, that people who are Republican or conservative but don't like Trump, that that's like the same thing as the Tea Party movement. It's not, because it's not a movement. It's just a personal preference. Like, the Tea Party actually got people into office and like took over the House in 2010 and has like actual, you would have Trump without the Tea Party. I mean, my gosh. So I don't know what she thinks with this. And I told my friend, I'm like, I just think that's a dumb comparison. You can't compare the two. We have a lot to get to still, because this is what else we're going to be touching on today. I got some silly stuff for you. But there were some troubling polls, troubling exit numbers coming out of South Carolina. And again, you know, the Trump campaign needs to pay attention to this stuff. I don't run the campaign. They need to pay attention to some of this stuff, because you would rather be ahead of this and thwart it than not. So we're going to get into all of this and get you situated as we move our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Wise Foods. I mean, I don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. All I know is this. When emergencies strike, the last thing that I want to worry about or ask about is where my next meal is coming from. And that's where Wise Food Storage comes in. When you visit wisefoodstorage.com and type in Dana in the search bar, you're going to get access to all these exclusive deals, like they're on their best-selling products, like their 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one, $100 value for $50. It includes 2 boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, 11,100 total calories in each kit, and it's all made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life as well. Also, the Heirloom Seed Vault, 39 varieties of seeds, non-hybrid, not GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. Each kit has more than 4,500 seeds in it, and it has a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar to access those exclusive deals, like the buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. That's wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. Type Dana in the search bar.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Kane and Steve were telling me this, and I can only assume it's because they want me to include it in headlines, how somebody thought it was smart to try to fight Cam Newton. It was a 7-on-7 football event, and apparently there was a scuffle. Who gets into a fight at a youth football event? Like, who does? Yeah, a scuffle.
The youth.
The youth does. And I don't know why anybody would. So apparently dudes were, they decided to attack the former NFL MVP, and he just manhandled him because he's 6'5". And he weighs like almost 300 pounds. How stupid are you? You deserve to get beaten. You know what? Darwin's theory of, you know, selection needs to, that goes into effect here. Good grief. Natural selection. All right. We also have a lunar landing was feared to have tipped while reaching the moon. It's the American-made lander. It touched down on the moon for the first time since Apollo 17 in 1972. And they said they got their mission. They're conducting some experiments on the lunar surface, but they're a little worried about operational capability because of some tipping. So I guess we'll see. A homeless man who is a different Steve Irwin than that other Steve Irwin built a cabin in a Seattle public park after digging up the site with an excavator to find treasure. Okay, so he's 41. He said he had the permission. He had permission to build the structure, despite the fact that Seattle Parks and Recreation said no, you didn't, and they paid $15,000 to repair the damage he had already done when he illegally dug up the land in fall of last year. So he was arrested for the rogue construction, charged with theft of a motor vehicle. But then he reclaimed the space, and he's just being a nuisance. You know what? Send Cam Newton out there to beat his ass, and that'll stop. Let's just do that. Like, let's just solve all these problems with sending out Cam Newton. Let's just do it, right? You know, come on. Reason 5097, why Dana doesn't go do cruises. A cruise ship was hit by a cholera outbreak. A bunch of British people were amongst thousands of passengers stuck in quarantine on a Norwegian Dawn liner floating aimlessly off the coast of Africa after it was barred from docking to avoid health risks. 2,200 passengers stuck on this metal vessel with cholera. I don't like being stuck in a room with people sometimes of my own blood for longer than an hour. I can't imagine being stuck on a boat with 2,200 people and cholera and not being able to kill me now. Kill me now. There's no way. There's no way. Pickleball, which Juan and Steve tell me is for the elderly and people who are not athletic. Now they have a lot of eye injuries. That's like a big thing. Eye injuries are soaring amongst pickleball players. Seriously, America? Stay with us. Have you ever gotten undressed only to realize that you were in front of an open window? How did that make you feel? Exposed? Vulnerable? Well, going online without using ExpressVPN is like doing that, being naked in front of a floor-to-ceiling window. And of course, there are creepers and weirdos out there who can see and record everything that you do online, even in the so-called private browsing model. So the next time that you go online in private browsing or in incognito mode, look at the fine print, because you'll see that your browsing activity is actually visible to a ton of people, like your internet provider, your school, your employer. Because when you use the Wi-Fi at work or at a hotel or, heaven forbid, an Airbnb or even at home, the owners of the Wi-Fi can see everything that you're up to. So imagine everybody getting a look at all the stuff you've ever clicked on. Like if I go to Daily Mail and I read all the celebrity trash, people will see that and they're going to judge me when I tell them all I do is read things like Forbes or Wall Street Journal. So use ExpressVPN. It's an app that sends 100% of your traffic through their encrypted servers so your browsing history cannot be seen by anyone. It's like, you know, an actual incognito mode, you know, one that works. And ExpressVPN works on all your devices. So you can use your phone, your TV, your iPad, your computer, browse, shop, watch, download whatever you want without the entire world knowing what you're doing. I mean, I think it's important to use ExpressVPN because, you know, I care about my privacy and I'm pretty sure you do about yours as well. So make sure you protect your online activity with the VPN that I trust to keep me private. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana today. That's expressvpn.com/Dana to get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Trump says he's ready to debate Biden right now. Should President Biden debate?
Of course he's not. I mean,
but should President Biden debate
Biden
Trump in the
beat
general?
Trump in the prior debates? I look forward to him. And this is a guy, okay. By
so
the
that's
way, that's
yes?
Just pure, 100%,
okay.
Pure projection on a guy who refused to debate in his own primary. Back to my point, weakness masquerading.
I mean, look, they got Trump dead to rights on that one. That's why I'm like, you can't, and I don't want to say that, because don't make me where I have to agree with someone that I don't want to agree with. Nothing presses the metal to the floor of totally chill to murderous faster than that. Welcome back to the show. Your living Daria here with you, Dana Loesch. You can listen coast to coast. You can look at my brand new black t-shirt. It's like all of my other black t-shirts, except it's kind of new. And you can look at it live right now. Woo-hoo-hoo. You can also join the live chat over at YouTube. Find us at Facebook. Did you watch that interview with who's the guy I'm thinking of? what's that? What was that one weird kid show where they all were like wore like foam on their heads and foam costumes? And
Robbie
it was
Rotten.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was. Didn't he like? Didn't that guy for real go to the dirt?
Yeah. What was the name of that show? I used to know the name of that show.
I almost don't want to know. Yeah, but he looked like he came from it. He's like a bad guy, a villain in that.
Oh,
Lazy
yeah,
Town.
Lazy Town.
Juan doesn't want anybody to know that he knows that. Lazy Town. We're not going to say that we got it from you, Juan.
I think it's impressive we know that.
Yeah, actually, thanks for putting us in that boat, too. Thanks. Great job, Kane.
Just being honest.
We were like, we're too Gen X and cool to know what that is. And then now we're like, wait a minute, how do we reference it in the first place? So he does. He looks like he's from Lazy Town. Yeah. That interview. So I watched, not the whole thing twice, but I watched certain parts of it twice because that dude is going for a presidential medal in butt kissing. I mean, I've never even seen Kamala talk this nice about Joe Biden. So he's being asked, oh, well, should he debate? And then Gavin's like, well, no, I mean, Trump didn't debate in the primary. Why should Biden debate? They're going to use that as a way to not have Biden debate. I hope everybody realizes this. That's happening. I doubt that we're going to have a debate in the general election, which is a major. I think that that's just as a voter, I find that disgusting. We should ever. That's why you should have as many debates as possible, I think. Unless you have the same questions because everyone has the same unimaginative approach. See, I would be like, all right, so you thought you came here for a debate. But actually, you didn't. We have a series of trials for you to complete. The first one is you have to put together this 1,100-piece Lego set without cursing one time. That's your first task. So it'd be like Hunger Games, but without death and like any serious skill set required, right? The second game is the second task is you have to beat the first boss in Lords of the Fallen, which is hard. So maybe that actually does require a serious skill set. And then the third one would be you have to get through a single sentence without forgetting where or who you are, right? I mean, just things, simple things like that. And then I don't know. We'll come up with some other tasks. So he just was fawning all over him. Fawning all over the guy. Is this audio? So is audio soundbite six more of the, because he didn't really totally do it in five, but what did he say that Biden, he called Biden a masterclass and I legit fell out. He called it a masterclass. Dude, you're laying it on too thick, right? You're laying it on too thick. It's the same feeling that you get when you're watching like a movie or a TV show, right? And there's a bad guy who's trying to bluff his way out of this situation with the authorities by really being almost over the top in pleading his innocence, right? Or trying to throw suspicion away from himself. And it just is, you're uncomfortable and it's cringy and it's just awkward. And I feel like that.
That's close to 15.
Watching Gavin Newsom. Yeah. Is this where he's fawning all over a masterclass? He's such a genius, brilliant president. This is so uncomfortable. You got to cringe with me. We're going to cringe right out of our chairs. Go ahead.
I mean, this what he's done in 3 years has been a masterclass. Close to 15 million jobs. That's eight times more than the last three Republican.
Okay. Can we stop for just a second? Okay. When the economy is shut down by force, under threat of penalty by the government, okay, and a lot of people have their jobs either suspended or they lose them outright, and then when you reopen the economy, you don't get to say that all of the jobs that are coming back that were there previously and are now coming back are brand new jobs that you've created. You also don't get to say, because you're expanding the size of the federal government, that look at all these brand new jobs I just created, because you literally expanded the government. They're actually including in their numbers 88,000 new IRS agents. And they're trying to go, look at all these jobs we created. Look at this. Look at the jobs. That's what they're doing. They're trying to say that these are additional jobs that they've created, because Biden, as you know, is leading a master class. Okay, go ahead. I'm dying. Sorry. Okay, play the rest of it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted.
Times more than the last three Republican presidents combined. The economy is booming. Inflation is cooling. It's 0.6% more than it was in the summer of 2020 at just 3.1%. Wait a second. We have American manufacturing coming back home, all because of what? Biden's wisdom, because of his temperance, his capacity to lead in a bipartisan manner, which is an underrepresented point. And so I have great confidence.
What in the world? What on earth? He acts like Joe Biden's holding his dog with a gun to his head or something. What in the world? I mean, it's a master class. He's brilliant, Kate. He's the smartest man that has ever been put into meat. He's so genius. He's so smart, Kane.
I have to admire the talent of keeping the straight face.
Yeah, that is impressive. I mean, it requires the suspension of your soul.
Yes,
but
not just disbelief.
I mean,
it's your soul. It requires the suspension
masterclass.
Of your soul.
I mean, there's a lot of words I think of when I think of Joe Biden's performance as president of the United States. And I must say, audience, that masterclass was not one of the terms that popped into my head.
Actually, class was also one of the terms that wouldn't pop into my
head. Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, definitely not. Definitely not. This is how he auditions. He debases himself like this. Because there's a certain element of insulting your own intelligence to be able to say statements like this. Because what you're telling everyone is that you yourself are too stupid to recognize that this is not, in fact, a masterclass in how to deal with policy these last 3 years. Nay, tis not. That it's actually FUBAR. It's a turd in a punch bowl. It is whatever euphemism you would like to apply to it that suggests mass chaos and failure. It is not a master class. Class is not in session. You're in detention. This is so dumb. This is so dumb. I hate all this stuff. Gosh, these guys are clowns. They're so clowns. Well, then they were asking Gavin Newsom if he was going to jump in to the race, right? Are you going to get in, Governor Gav? Listen to what he says here, audio soundbite 6.
Buzz has not stopped. I know you've been asked this before, but do you still rule out a run in 2024?
Oh, my gosh, he's acting so bad.
I am here celebrating the extraordinary accomplishments of the Biden-Harris administration, making the case that we need to make
he's
to lift
psycho.
Up the issues, lift up the record, drive contrast with the Republican nominee to be Donald Trump so that we
calls?
Can win for four more years.
Have you gotten any calls, Governor, encouraging you to run?
It's all idle chatter. It's all you know what? That's a sideshow. I think what Democrats need to do is worry less,
yes,
do more, continue to overperform as we have, continue to win.
I just feel okay. I just
case.
Figured out
Don't
who
be
he is.
Shamed.
You know how like there's always in politics there is either a doppelganger or as close as you can get to a doppelganger in terms of character in. You know, culture, like in film or television. And I just figured out who his is. Would you like to know who it is?
I would.
I mean, it's Dennis from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It is him.
I can see
right?
It. Yeah.
She's sitting here asking him, so Governor, are you... Kane, ask me if I'm going to run for office. Let me try to do the Gav response.
So Governor, the rumors are out there and we were wondering, are you going to run?
I mean, that's just idle chatter. That was the Kristen Stewart performance of disbelief, right? That was like half her lines in Twilight.
Convincing.
That's all he did.
He sounded like he was tripped up by that tough question.
He sounds like a dog when you pick it up and it's squirming. It's what it is. So, oh my gosh. It's so uncomfortable. It is so uncomfortable. I get Dennis vibes from him. He probably has cameras in his bedroom. I mean, if you believe Jen Van Laar's reporting, I mean, golly, everything's horrible. I'm sorry, kids. I'm sorry that we failed you. No, we didn't fail you. Humanity failed you. That's what it is. So just come sit on the couch and let's just talk badly about everyone, because that's pretty much the only positive contribution that we could make to the political landscape at this point in the United States. So some of the other stuff that we have. Oh, my gosh. I'm just glancing over our audio today. Because, you know, Biden and Trump are both going to the border today. Right. They're both going to the border. Did someone tell Joe Biden that, are they going to take him to the border up north and tell him that that's the Mexico border? Is he going to get confused? Does he know where he is today? We're going to get into that. It's taken everything I have not to play audio soundbite 14 before we go. Literally all this, do it, do it, do it, play it. This is James Clyburn.
Well, you know, when I see all the gaffes, Trump had some cue cards on yesterday. Or last night, and couldn't get his own wife's name right. There's something wrong with Trump, and we know there's something wrong with Trump. All of that meandering that he was doing today, but we never see any reporting on that. If Joe Biden commits a gaffe, a guy who stuttered all of his childhood into his adulthood, and everybody know his stuttering is what caused a lot of his speech impediments. And we know that has nothing to do with his brain. He stumbles one time and everybody says he's too old to be a president. Look, we had a president of the United States. I saw the rankings the other day who in the top 10, and some people got him in the top 3. Franklin Roosevelt was in a wheelchair.
One time it was icy outside. I was a little kid, and I'm going to bring the tugboat in. Snuggle up. My mom went to the car to get something. She'd come home from work early. You know, Missouri was icy out, and in Texas, if it looks like it's going to be ice, they cancel the state. Everything shuts down. Texas is closed. Missouri, they're like, oh, go ahead, make you come to work today. School's open. School buses sliding everywhere. Anyway, she walked outside of the car in the driveway. The door was open. She was getting stuff out of the car. The next thing I know, she fell and slipped right and slid legit right the hell under the car all the way on the other side. Funniest thing I've ever seen. But I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh because it's wrong to make fun of someone's stutter. It's wrong. Dana, that's not what a stutter is. You are making fun of stuttering. When he falls up the stairs, Joe Biden, I'm like, that stutter is so bad, it's affecting his feet. Yep. His feet are, which one goes? They don't know. We have more on the way. It's very scientific. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, we're all going to have to go buy gold because the world's ending. You want to be able to have, you know, an actual physical thing that you can touch that as a hedge to your, all of the stuff with inflation, government spending. The gold IRA field, it can be confusing. And so if you're looking for a precious metals company to trust, it's not easy to do. One of the reasons why I like Goldco is because they make it really easy. They send you this whole awesome kit. It's that walks you through everything. It's a one of a kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers, and it explains the whole economy, how gold IRAs work, and they just want to make it easy to understand so you can get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. And they understand too that precious metals ownership is a very important part of your overall retirement savings strategy. They have an unmatched customer service, zero complaint record, first rate service, and there's no pressure at all, no fees either. And you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. Protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's danalikesgold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The United States has a population of north of 327 million people. Why do we need more kids?
Why do you need that wig?
Your party, Senator Tuberville, is the one screaming that 10 million immigrants, which I don't even know that that number even makes any sense, because it doesn't, have streamed into the country since Joe Biden has been president, and you're claiming that.
Gosh, I just want to fix her wig so bad. It's bothering me. I don't want to be mean. I just don't like it when women do stupid things on camera like that. Fix it. Welcome back to the show. And say dumb things too like that. Dana Lash here with you. We're living our Daria phase right now. You can you can stream the radio program. You can watch the video simulcast component on YouTube, Facebook. YouTube's where all the discussion is. Facebook, also channel 347, DirecTV. So Biden and Trump are going to the border on the same day. Biden's going to Brownsville, Texas, and he's pushing that Ukraine supplement. Trump is going to Eagle Pass. They're not expected to be in the same area while they are in Texas. And Biden is going to, according to the White House, quote, reiterate his calls for congressional Republicans to stop playing politics and provide the funding needed for additional U.S. Border Patrol agents, blah, 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 blah. And my only response would be like, why didn't Democrats pass the H.R. 2? Because, see, Republicans had a bill ready to go to do all of these things. And that was just last year. Why didn't Democrats pass it? Why weren't they serious about the border then? But now they're serious about the border. These are questions I have. And in fact, I would also ask the head of Border Patrol that, too. We're HR 2, you liked that, right? We have a whole other hour on the way. You don't want to miss. Stick with us. Our friends over at Hillsdale College. This is a wonderful academic institution, and they are dedicated to merit and character. They don't care about identity politics. And if you are unfamiliar with Hillsdale, first off, if you got a kid who's going to be going off to college and they're not applying to Hillsdale, you're not doing your job as a parent. That's not in the talking points, but I'm saying it. So here's the thing with Hillsdale. This is a great small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they're all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. They were founded in 1844 to do just that, to push back on this illiteracy epidemic of where our rights come from and the purpose and principle of our republic. And that's why the folks at Hillsdale College, they've produced all of these free online courses. Now, they have a new one. It's a course on the very topic called American Citizenship and Its Decline. And it's not exactly what you may think. I mean, it gives into citizenship. It also is the American citizenship and civic pride. Sign up for this free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. Now, it's taught by my friend Victor Davis Hanson, and it looks at the history of citizenship, and it explains like how in America right now it's undermined, not just by open borders, not just by globalization in the administrative state, but also identity politics. And so you can sign up for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting Dana4FORHillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Start your free course today.
Good morning. Chad Bianco, Riverside County Sheriff. We are here today because California public safety is in crisis. Crime is steadily on the rise, and our public safety policy is one of the worst, if not the worst, in the nation. I want to make this clear, and I want there to be no mistake in what I am saying. This is not by accident. The driving force in our crisis is a radical, progressive agenda fraudulently called criminal justice reform.
So this criminal is nothing justice short reform, of a sick we talked about that on the show quite a bit. That's a sheriff out in California. And I think you could also say that the sanctuary state is also a manifestation of the whole idea of criminal justice reform as well. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour, you can listen to the nationally syndicated radio program across the country. And you can also check out the video component, the simulcast, channel 347 DirecTV, the discussion that accompanies it on YouTube, as well as Facebook. And speaking of the criminal justice reform and border states, we have Biden and Trump that are both going to Texas. Biden's going to Brownsville. Trump is going to Eagle Pass. And Biden's going to try to, Biden's using the trip as a way to push this bill. And they are acting as though that it absolutely has to be done. even though they could have, if Democrats were as serious about immigration as they had claimed, they could have done this with H.R. 2. You know, Congressman Chip Roy, we talked to him about that just not too long ago. They could have done H.R. 2 last year, but they didn't. So I can't really take them seriously, their claimed desire to want to make sure that we have resources needed at the border, because this isn't about that. This bill that they want to push through, this is that supplemental to Ukraine. And I'm tired of the push with it. I'm tired. They had on Fox last week, there was like an hour long thing with Zelensky. Like, really? We've heard enough. We've heard enough. The problem is, you don't know where the money's gone. You don't even know where it's going to go. You don't even know what the stated objective is going to be. And there's just a lot of false stuff that's being claimed in all of this. And I get really tired of hearing warmongering people who are eager to send your loved ones off to war, but they themselves aren't signing up, if you notice. They're the ones who constantly beat the drum that, well, it's going to be Russia. They're going to challenge NATO. Russia can't even challenge Ukraine. I mean, it should have been easy for a country of Russia's size and place in history, and they're barely holding on to their butts. You think they're actually going to roll through Ukraine, come out stronger, and then immediately go and challenge NATO? Because that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. It's a weak attempt to try to act as though their imperialist tendencies have been reborn and they have the resources and the manpower to do it. They don't. Russia can't do wars of attrition anymore, as you can see. Not happening. But that's what we're going to hear. We're going to hear that all today. We're going to hear it all tomorrow. You're going to hear it on cable news. Oh, we got to get involved. We got to get involved. No, you haven't made the case to the American people. You haven't made the case as to why. And furthermore, you're not going to make the case, and you're not going to persuade anyone, so long as we got people coming in through the southern border that are going and murdering college students and women. This is just insane, the story coming out of Georgia. And I think, Trump shouldn't go. Let Biden go to the border, unless Trump is going to meet there with Border Patrol himself, because they had the Border Patrol. I've said this before, and my patience, my chill with them is going to run out here real quick. The head of the Border Patrol Union. From what I understand, the members of the Border Patrol Union don't actually support the Border Patrol head. And again, it's a union. They look at this specifically as, how does it benefit the union? Whereas we taxpayers, we don't have the luxury of looking at things that siloed. We have to look at, how is it going to benefit us, the taxpayer? How is the supplemental going to help us? Is it going to lurch our kids and our loved ones towards having to get involved in a war? I mean, we have to think of all of these other things instead of just the silo, just specifically this one issue, because Democrats won't pass a standalone bill about the border. And I honestly think I get that the Border Patrol Union is weighing their case here, and they think that this is going to get them in a little bit better position than something else. But if you lose your ass with foreign policy, you're not going to have much of a border left either. And I think it was stupid, and I think it was premature for the Border Patrol Union to get involved and make a statement about this, because it's not just about the border. If this was a straight up standalone border, that would be one border bill. That would be one thing. But it's not. It is a bill that demands a heck of a lot more from the American taxpayer. And I think it is incredibly myopic for the Border Patrol Union head to go out there and do these and release this statement that sounds like Alejandro Mayorkas wrote it, to release this statement and to push for the passage of a giant bill that includes just a pittance for the border, because they think temporarily it's going to make things a smidge easier for them. I think I get it. Like I said, you're standing up for the folks that are in your union. And I would have been fine to just leave the sentiment at that. But he keeps pushing it. This Border Patrol Union head keeps pushing it. Now he's releasing statements. He's going to be at the border. Probably. I think he's going to be there in Brownsville with Biden. So now I feel like I got to get mad at him, because he's gone beyond my grace on this. And I think a lot of y'all's grace out there, too. Because, again, this isn't just a standalone bill about the border. This is about a lot of other stuff, too. More billions that we don't have that we're going to be spending in higher taxes to send to Ukraine, to send to Gaza. You're talking about sending billions of American taxpayer dollars to a terrorist government in the Middle East. I didn't sign up for that. I don't care what smidge of the border it helps. So this Border Patrol Union head, he needs to watch his P's and Q's, because he's starting to put himself on the opposite end of this debate with the American people. And those are the last allies you got. Ridiculous. I think when it's a big, complicated bill like this, and I want to note that he did not include the nuance of only specifically talking about this portion of the bill. He hasn't given American taxpayers that courtesy. So why should I give him any? Again, this is about business of the country, not friends. He's been on the show before, but I don't have any patience for this. I mean, this is nuts. Where was he demonstrating this sort of energy with HR 2? I don't remember seeing that, do you? Yeah, they had this post that he put up. And they were, and I get it. Like I said, it's the union. It's the border union. So they got to sit here and they have to deal with, you know, just specifically their union. But your union, the Border Patrol union, is also funded by the taxpayers. And we, the taxpayers, also have to think about everything that this portends instead of just specifically for this one aspect, because it's a pittance. Should have been HR 2. So they're both going down there. Of course, you know, Trump's going to be at Eagle Pass. Biden's going to be in Brownsville. And in the meantime, I really wish it would be smart for somebody to go to Georgia to talk about this case that the media's shutting out. I mean, they've really, this guy, this illegal immigrant who murdered this girl in Georgia, had been released from custody not once, but twice. After previous arrests, he had already preyed upon a minor before. He was released following his arrest. He left Texas. He went to seek refuge in Eric Adams, New York City, sanctuary state, sanctuary city. And then he was arrested again 1 week after he was arrested again. He was, quote, acting in a manner to injure a child less than 17. But of course, they release him and let him walk before ICE can get a detainer out on him. They wanted to process him for deportation. Lincoln Riley's murder would have been prevented if this illegal immigrant had been arrested in New York City, had been detained in New York City, and had been deported out of New York City. But Eric Adams, sanctuary cities, killing people, not even in New York. The long arm of the quote-unquote sanctuary policy of New York reached its tendrils all the way down in Georgia, where it murdered Lincoln Riley. And so, I'm just wondering and looking at this story, where's the concern for this? Because this is what you're going to get more of. 7.3 million, and these do not include the gotaways, entering in illegally. Do you know that this young woman, she went out in the evening for a jog right around her campus? The Athens-Clark County coroner had to identify her body. Blunt force trauma. And I can just, it's just horrific. She was on the dean's list. Super smart student at Augusta University. So that's a family that has lost a daughter. That's a family that's lost a daughter. That's another young woman whose life has been extinguished. So we can what? We've laid her at the altar of coddling people who enter the country illegally. I mean, this is just as horrible. It's horrible. She's out jogging. And her family, of course, is devastated. She had made the dean's list. Her mom had just announced that on Facebook. So they found her body in a wooded area. And just so young. The 26-year-old person in the country illegally who already has a violent record had been released. I wouldn't be shocked if ICE and, you know what, maybe Biden can go and plead for the release of this guy now, because clearly lives don't matter to him. So I where are the Republicans on this? Somebody needs to be out there in Georgia. Brian Kemp should have an event in Georgia. Brian Kemp should be all over this like white on rice. He should be all over this. 22-year-old student. And this guy's charged with felony murder, false imprisonment, kidnapping, concealing the death of another. He was denied bond. I think he should be put to death immediately, and I think it should be publicly live streamed. I think he should be drawn and quartered publicly. I don't believe in opposition to cruel and unusual punishment. Not when you got deal with monsters like this. I think that monsters need to be taught to live in fear of the righteous justice of the people that they might prey upon. They're having the funeral service on Friday for this young woman. Twice arrested, twice released. Sanctuary City of New York City, because of their policies, they didn't bother waiting to make sure to see if ICE could put out a detainer on him. They didn't bother waiting. So I think that they can go to the border all they want to. I think it's fine. Go to the border. Just so long as a Republican gets their happy ass to Georgia and does something about this in Georgia. I get it. Everybody's got their legal squabbles and all this other stuff. But you know what? This is still ongoing. I get it that there's phallus measuring contests in the RNC to see who's going to be the head of the next completely irrelevant group that can't win in elections and loses like it's their job since 2016. I get it. But you also got these issues that y'all need to be dealing with. Caltech, sub 2K. This is a great Florida-based company, and they're incredibly innovative. We actually guessed at one of the things they're going to be coming out with, although I'm not going to tell you because I promised them that I wouldn't if they gave me any indication, if I could guess it. But they've got some really cool stuff that they're coming out with. One of the newest things that they have is the Sub 2K Gen 3. Now, I have the Gen 2 version. The Gen 3 is awesome. It's gun origami. You can fold your 9mm carbine in half. Now, previously, you'd have to take off your favorite optic, but you don't have to anymore with the Gen 3 because you just twist and turn. It's a patent-pending rotating forend in either direction. It folds the whole thing in half. Optics and all, and it also just quickly and easily deploys it. Yes, still optics and all, but they've also fine-tuned a number of other features. First off, you got an upgraded aluminum trigger, so you got redesigned mechanics. You got a nice, soft, lightened 5-pound pull, and that means more precise feedback, clean, isolated pull, improved accuracy. They have an upgraded action. They have a new chamber indicator as well. Ambidextrous bolt hold open, all providing improved manipulation. Everything. You have to check it out. It's KeltechWeepons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com, and it's the Sub 2K. It looks like Sub 2000 Sub 2K Gen 3. To learn more about it, visit KeltechWeepons.com and tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So an AI robot has copied what? This is so weird. A bishop's voice. Listen to this. This is a church. This is in Britain. These AI robots are copying bishops' voices to con nuns out of thousands of dollars in a terrifying new scam. Hey, maybe just stop giving people money. Real easy. Just stop. Don't. I don't care if you think you know them. Always have a code word, too. For real. Always have a code word. That's like a very important thing I think families should do. Car shoppers aren't electrified by electric vehicles. Another headline that states the absolute obvious. I had to get a new battery for my vehicle, and it was expensive, and I can only imagine the cost of having to purchase a new battery for an electric vehicle. Now, look, I like gadgets. I don't care about your arguments about helping the earth, because it doesn't, and it actually is worse. But the batteries are so ridiculously expensive. Can you imagine? It's like more expensive than the car. Might as well just burn your car up, blow it up, and just get a whole new one. Yeah, I was reading this horribly written piece by the Washington Post by a woman named Janine Whalen, who can't write a balanced lead to save her ever-loving life. But the long story short is that nobody's buying EVs. You don't need it. It's like when I'm going to a recipe site, I don't give a rat's backside about your family. I don't care about anything personal about you. Show me the recipe. No one cares. Blah, blah, blah. Cry, cry. Show me the recipe. Nobody cares. That's the only reason why we're here. Same thing with this. Same thing. Same story came. The new normal in the housing market, 7% mortgage rate. So it's kind of tipping back up. Busy spring season nears. Buyers and sellers are making peace with higher rates now. So we're going back up in the sevens. It increased 3.1% from December to January, according to the National Association of Realtors. Inventory of unsold existing homes rose 2%. And they said that the revived supply should help meet the returning demand. See, I swear, sidebar. I have a conspiracy. I actually have one conspiracy theory. It's about the tiny house thing. You know how they've been trying to push everybody into little tiny Cracker Jack box houses? I think it's because, yeah, you're not going to own anything. You're going to live in a tiny little house on wheels that you can just tote around behind a regular tiny, like, Geo Metro, like that small. And you're going to love it and eat bugs. I'm telling you. Let's see. Google cut a deal with Reddit to train AI on its data. So I've banned AI from training on my Substack. And now, I don't know what to make of this. Now AI can train on Reddit. It's a new partnership between the two companies. I don't even know what I think of that, but they're gonna try it. And a California bill is aiming to prohibit landlords from denying renters with dogs. I think if it's your property, as much as I love dogs, it's your property. You can make the determination as to what someone else can do with your property. So that's just, I think, kind of how it is. I love dogs. I love dogs more than I love people, and I'm not entirely joking with you about that, but it still is a landlord's property. Stay with, I have a horrible story coming up. The people who help bring you free radio, the folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. They've been my cell phone service for the past decade. And right now, you can get free activation using code Dana. And they have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you get the best service in your area, but without funding the far left, without funding DEI, without funding open borders and gun control. And when you switch, you can speak to a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy for you to switch. Keep your phone on your number or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are huge numbers of voters in our Republican primaries who are saying they want an alternative. I said earlier this week that no matter what happens in South Carolina, I would continue to run for president. I'm a woman of my word.
She's going to go, we got Michigan tomorrow and then you got Super Tuesday, and she says she's going to go all the way to Super Tuesday. Although she did lose big money Koch brothers over at Americans for Prosperity. She lost them. So I don't know. I mean, if she thinks that the movement, because it's not a movement, it's a choice. It's a bunch of people who have a choice. I mean, it's not dedicated around, you know, like a Tea Party was an issue based thing. I mean, in fact, the Tea Party, as one of the founding modern era members, was actually about anti-politician. We were anti-politician. We did not even want politicians at our events. I got into a fight with a senator at one of these things because they were trying to come up on stage. In fact, I had to push back against this grifter who was trying to like secretly work behind the scenes of the Tea Party against the Tea Party and get paid off of having these lawmakers make friends with grassroots activists. And I was like right and left banning politicians from getting up on stage. I'm like, you can listen to everybody else, but we're tired of listening to you. It was like anti-politician. So I don't know, because I've seen this kind of floated that, well, maybe she thinks that this movement or whatever is going to like dissipate. I just think that's it. And then she'll be left there standing. I don't know. It's a weird bet to make, right? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. I mean, the primary is pretty much over. I mean, this is just, it's all over but formality, but she's going to keep on going. And she's campaigning. She's going to Michigan. She's campaigning, and now she's allowing, like Trump's going to the border. He's going to the border. Biden's going to the border, and she's going to Michigan. See, there's the primary's over. I just think you realize how dumb that looks. I don't care if you like Trump or not. Do you know how dumb that looks? Like I'm going to keep on campaigning. That's great. Meanwhile, everybody needs to focus on these other issues. So the guy that you're trying to beat in the primary is just going to the border. And you can't, because you got to go to Michigan. And then you got Super Tuesday coming up. She's like, I'm a woman of my word. I'm not going to believe the reports. So I'll take that. Okay. I tell you. But they have. They pulled the plug on all this. Now, you also have Ronna Romney McDaniel, who made it official that she's stepping down, which we knew it was happening. We talked about this last week. It's official now that she's announcing her resignation as chair of the RNC. The co-chair is going to resign. They need someone who is not a Trump and is not a guy who's from, was it from South Carolina, the one guy who got in trouble and got sued by his own party because he cheated at the election. It needs to not be that guy. It needs to not be a super hyper partisan primary. It needs to not be that. It needs to not be any of that stuff. So they have, I think as of December 31st, the RNC has only $8 million cash on hand. I think the previous president got to pick the head of the RNC. Okay, you had your turn. Now let's like get someone who's not going to run it into the ground, because that's what she did. I don't care. This is not about making friends with someone. It's not about, this is me being nice. You only have $8 million cash on hand. The lowest it had since just over $5 million cash on hand at the end of 2014. That's according to FEC filings. That's insane, because they have to also deal with all of the House races and the Senate races. It's just horribly run at this point. It's just very poorly run. And then they've got, he wants the chief operating officer of his campaign to also, he wants that to be the COO, or no, the campaign aide. He wants the campaign aide to be the RNC COO. The guy that he is pushing out there to be the COO is one of the worst match tempered people I've ever seen for the position. You cannot be on Twitter telling voters to go F themselves if they had a different choice from you during the primary, because you need those voters to win. I'm not even remotely exaggerating. This is ridiculous. Let's be serious about who we want. I mean, I think the RNC, they all need to be grounded. They need to lose their driving privileges and everything else, because $8 million cash on hand, this is horrific. I'm pointing out all these things because they need to be pointed out, because I want to win. And I look at all these, I look at any goofiness in my way as an obstacle to winning in 2024. You have a guy who is on Twitter picking fights with people every single day on social media, you know, X or Facebook or wherever, repeatedly picking fights with people, telling them to go do unflattering things to themselves if they weren't with him in the beginning during the primary. That's what a primary is for. We don't have a monarchy, for the love. It's like this guy just came over and learned how our republic works. Stop it. You're not going to win an election like that. And we don't need anybody else in the RNC doing any more ass clownery. I'm just going to say it because it needs to be said. You should be against this if you want to win in 2024. People who don't want to win in 2024 are for it. They're called Democrats. You can't run a party like this. So no, totally against it. I want to win. Anybody who doesn't act like that is an obstacle. You have to be bringing people together at this point. I also don't put a lot of stock in some of the surveys that came out, some of the exits from Michigan, and some of these I think are goofy. People get real tribal during primaries, and they are never so more tribal than the day that they vote. When you got people after they just cast a vote coming out and saying, even if it's just Haley voters, and they're like, oh, could you ever, you know, vote for Trump? And if they say, no, I don't think I ever could, I don't think that's true. But the bottom line is you still need everybody. Republicans have to have a crazy turnout. That's the problem with the Republican Party every single time. They beat themselves because of low turnout every time. So she's staying in until she's staying in all the way till Super Tuesday. Okay. All right. Now, more and more, I saw this. This is another one I don't put a lot of stock in. In South Carolina, they did this. This is a poll that came out of, it's the South Carolina primary. I'm going to pull this up. This is some of the exit data. They were saying that only one third, or they were asked, are you a part of the MAGA movement? And they had, of all the Republican voters, 45 said yes, 49% said no. That's very similar to the January Iowa caucuses, where 4 in 10 described themselves only identified as positively being. Honestly, I think it's because you have to be able to define it easily. And you can't just say America first. That's vagary. You have to be able to easily define it. And you need to be able to say like this and point to specific successes. That was the only question that was asked. So it's not like they were being led or anything like that. It's not a push pull. They were just asked, are you part of the MAGA movement? And I think some people also, and this is also the nature of people who just identify on the right, they do not, you have to realize people who tend to vote for more constitution, less government, do not, they don't yoke themselves up with identity in politics the way the left does, because it is identity politics. They don't do that. That's why a lot of the persuasion and advertising doesn't work on the right the way it does the left. They're just, it's a different mindset. So I think you have to take that into consideration of some of this as well. But I also think some of it comes down to, you got to be able to really easily define it very quickly. And I think some people are like, well, I don't know, am I? Some people, because I actually have heard, I watch people debate this online. They think it's, if you're like the most hardcore supporter, then you consider yourself as being that. Because that's how a lot of his surrogates have defined it. So that's another reason why you can't get too tribal. Because you want to keep it to where other people, you need support, and you want other people to be able to come on and adopt. Here's this horrible story I was telling you about. This is so ridiculous. I hate culture right now. This is an actual headline, New York Post. I've seen this over and over again. I've seen this headline and this discussion over and over again the past month. The headline, women are loving men who embrace baby girl vibe and ditch toxic masculinity. Now you're like, what on God's green earth is a baby girl vibe? And so they said, here's how the article goes. A 26-year-old 6'5" man isn't what comes to mind for Americans when they think of a baby girl, but as for Gen Z, Jacob Elordi, 26, was deemed so baby girl during his promotion as the host of Saturday Night Live that the musical guest and cast member made the decree. So they say that Pedro Pascal, who's not Gen Z, he's older than me, Timothy Chalamet, and this other guy who's in White Lotus and I don't watch it. The term is a term of endearment that includes a specific type of swoon-worthy dude, a guy who comes across as sweet, charming, and a bit bashful, and seemingly in touch with their feminine side, ready to talk about their failings or carry a purse to brunch at any point. That is exactly what women want and what men want to become, the antithesis of toxic macho masculinity. Who wrote this trash? This some bee named Adriana Diaz. Gag me. Just because you want an emasculated dude, I cannot stand it when I see these broads get out here with no live life experience acting like they're talking all for women. Girl, psh, no. That sounds, baby girl is synonymous with pansy. That's what it is. I don't believe in the phrase toxic masculinity. I do believe in the phrase toxic femininity. And it is, you don't even have to say it that long. Just call them bees, because that's what it is. It is the matriarchy defined. It's women who want men that they can manipulate. The easily manipulated man. That's what this is. This is crazy. Have you heard this term before, Cain?
Yeah, no, I had never. Nope, not before today. I was today years old.
Gag. They're like pick me dudes. That's what they are. Have you heard the phrase pick me girl?
I have.
Yeah, the girl that wants to, yeah. It's like that. That's what it is. Golly, a man who's a baby girl. Who called Pedro Pascal tries too damn hard, by the way. That guy is a pick me dude. He tries so hard to be loved. I just cringe right out of my chair. It's so, I can't deal with it. And they're like, traditional norms are shifting. No, they're not. There's nothing, I think if you're using the phrase toxic masculinity, you're too stupid to define either. Chivalry is the code of honor by which men should behave. Toxic masculinity, that's not a trait that's associated with being a dude. You're a jerk or you're not. Just like women are bees or they're not. It's very simple. But I just think this is so goofy. It's about like not being. Why is it that women fawn over tough guys then? Seriously, think about it. Go look back. The guys who actually get the praise and the looks and the chicks, it's not these baby girl dudes. I promise you that. Like, there's, golly, who wrote this? We have more on the way. I had to share that with you because I had to read it. We get to share in the suffering.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So people were shocked as a Florida man wrestled and caught a wild shark. Is there any other type of shark?
Domesticated.
Yeah. Here's my domesticated shark. Some of it was on video as well, if this will actually open, because I hate everything right now. No, people were shocked. This guy literally went in and caught and wrestled this thing. I don't know. I mean, why? That's, I don't know. Another day, another shark. The guy said, it was like in this shallow area. And he did like walk him out, which I think he also makes him nuts. He walked him out to where this shark could swim away. I don't know if he just like got stuck in this shallow area or what. But I'm like, dude, you're nuts. First off, you're nuts. And then secondly, there's no other type of shark but a wild shark.
Look at the size of that thing.
I mean, can I be real? I like wildlife and I want the wildlife to be happy and stuff. But I also at the same time, I'm like, if I see a shark of that size in a shallow area somewhere, bye shark. Sorry, sucks for you. It's a big bummer.
I just naturally want to punch it.
No, I'm not going to be like
that. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to punch it in the nose.
If it's trying to get you, yeah, not just like if you randomly see it. My gosh.
I don't randomly see sharks. It's because they come up to me. Sorry, but that's how it goes.
Just punch it. Kane's going to be just, if you see a crazed man in Florida jumping in random watering holes, just punching the wildlife, it's Kane. That's what's happening. I got to get this one, too. I saw a Florida woman was sentenced to probation. Speaking of gators, she was at a traffic stop. Ariel McCann LaQuire. It just looks like her name is the French way of spelling queer. I don't know. LaQuire. I don't know. She was arrested. They stopped her and this other guy. They ran a stop sign in Punta Gorda. And then as they had them step out of the car, she literally pulled a foot long alligator out of her yoga pants. So yoga pants means leggings, pretty sure. Girlfriend had a foot-long gator in her leggings. These are my gator leggings. These are the leggings that I wear when I go hunt gators. She was out there catching snakes. They said that they were trying to collect snakes and frogs from underneath an overpass, right? And I can't even make this up. They were holding the things in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles backpack. I need to know more about the yoga pants, though. Like, I'm looking at this, and I need to know more about the yoga pants. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Like, what brand were those? Did you get them off Amazon? Like, I'm just curious. Let's see here. A wild video shows a gator chasing after golfers in Florida. Oh, man, we're going to have to get more into this tomorrow. But yeah, they were like chasing the golf carts. It's like a rabid gator. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Another man, not a lot of people know him. He doesn't do too much television. He happens to be a little bit further left than some of the people on the stage. But I always say,
don't do it,
when I'm in trouble on the left, I call up Lindsey Graham and he straightens it out so fast. And I'll tell you, no. Remember. I love him. He's a good man. Come up here, Lindsey.
Oh my gosh.
Come up here, Lindsey.
Lindsey Graham is very reluctant to indeed come up there, and he's also 5 feet shorter than Trump.
Okay, are you ready?
No.
America, the nightmare you're facing is just about over. Help is on the way. This is the most qualified man to be president of the United States. And let it be said.
All right. So that was Lindsey Graham. This is the second time Trump has brought Lindsey Graham out there, and every time it's the same thing. People are going, no, boo. They don't like him. They're not a Graham fan. Lindsey Graham had one moment, and that was during the Kavanaugh hearing. And he remains tolerated because of that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you, top of this third hour. And it's good to be with you, as always. And you can listen around the country. You can also, all kinds of stuff. You can stream it, the discussions over at YouTube, Channel 347, DirecTV. Lindsey Graham had one good moment. You know, it's like where it's that it's like the time in the movie, right, when the bad guy character, or the not the bad guy character, this is the character that's like smarmy and that you may not be totally a fan of, is when he does something good and you find yourself, you know, unexpectedly rooting for him for that moment. And Lindsey Graham had that moment during the Brett Kavanaugh hearing in the Senate, because he was the one who went to bat for Kavanaugh. And he was the one who sat there, and I actually think that was a very passionate, powerful moment, because he got real mad at Democrats sitting there, and he goes, you all want power, and I hope you never get it. How he says. And that's about it. Now everybody's over it, because he's always been a big, well, they call him Grahamnesty for a reason. And so Trump brings him up there, and he gets booed. They boo Lindsey Graham. You got to be careful with that. You got to be careful. Little doses. But I do think it's just interesting. He's like, yeah, whenever I'm in trouble for the left, he just gets it. I just bring him in. I mean, I guess you got to have people like that, but still, you got to be careful bringing him up on stage there like that with you. All right. So, as always, good to be with you. We got Michigan tomorrow. Is anybody really watching the primaries anymore? Because I'm not. Got Michigan tomorrow, and then you got Super Tuesday. Are you really excited about it, Kane? Are you so excited? Oh my gosh, if you're just waiting, beat your breath.
No, I know that Haley knows that she doesn't have a chance, right? She's staying in. My thing is, I think she's setting this up for 4 years from now, where she can then say, I made it all the way to Super Tuesday. The only other candidate to make it, through Super Tuesday in the 2024 election. Like, that's, I mean, it's all she can do at this point. She knows that.
Yeah, but that's not going to be enough of a talking point.
No, it won't. And hopefully she'll have something to add to that in the 4 years leading to that. But yeah, this is literally all she can do at this point.
She hurt herself with the trans stuff and foreign policy, and that's going to be a deal breaker for a lot of people. Can we talk about the VP stuff real quick? Because Trump is going to string that out for as long as possible. Honestly, he kind of should. But I got some concerns. It can't be somebody from Florida, because you can't have two dudes from Florida running. You can't. It's not going to be what's her face. No, her state has what, three electoral votes. I don't know if he would ever get along with Brian Kemp coming out of Georgia. Georgia's got what, 16 electoral votes. It's also, by the way, why a reason why Trump should be hitting the case of that that young woman who was murdered by the illegal immigrant in Georgia. 16 electoral votes there. Tim Scott, South Carolina. Tim Scott, who went soft on BLM. That Tim Scott?
Yeah.
I don't think it can be him either, although I wouldn't be surprised. He is, I mean, he's kind of walked sort of the middle of the line a little bit on this stuff. He was accused of playing it safe. He was accused of, trying to triangulate, etc. He seems like a nice guy, but yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so with him. So who else besides, I'm pulling up my, all my little VP notes here, because you also have to look at people's records. And now Haley said has Haley ever said that she wouldn't be VP? Because that would be interesting. She hasn't said that she wouldn't be VP.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, she could bring the big money to it. and he's going to need money because he's got to pay for all his trials. And you can't have Larry Trump at the RNC raising money through the RNC, taking away from all the congressional and Senate races just to pay his legal bills. And I'm just telling you, if you want to win in 24, let's be honest. Or we can sit here and tickle each other's fancies and, you know, lie about everything and then have our butts handed to us in 2024. You tell me. Tim Scott is not a fighter. He's not a fighter. I think he was trying to triangulate on the BLM stuff. He had that one police bill that was roundly criticized by conservatives that he had been pushing. So I don't think. Who else? Tulsi Gabbard? Tulsi Gabbard has not done enough to convince me that she's actually a conservative. That approaches a deal breaker line for me. She is someone who people have told me, and she's welcome to call on the program. There's an open invitation. I don't have time to listen to like one of the million podcasts that are out there. I just don't. You can come on and talk to me about it. But there's the, because she had previously, she had been against the quote unquote assault weapons and all this other stuff. She had taken a pretty hard line against 2A issues. And I've written about it. She had also said that she couldn't vote against impeachment because she thought Trump was guilty of wrongdoing. She's been a hardcore lefty for a long time, and she tries to triangulate to the middle on a few issues, and people who don't know her record get really excited and act like they think that she's coming to the right. She's not on the issues that actually matter, the issues that affect your day-to-day lives and your freedom. She has not. So, no. Vivek Ramaswamy, if anyone suggests him as a VP, I want to know how much of Hunter's crack rock you share. I'm all for people coming to the right, but you got to grind a little bit with the regular peeps for a while and prove, you know, put, you know, maybe do some canvassing and fundraising instead of just immediately switching to the right and then demanding to be general. No, that's not how we do things here. And the dude was donating to Democrats literally like right before Trump declared in 2016. So, I posted all that as well. I have several big posts on it. He's been on the show before. That's fine. I'm all fine with people coming to the right, but you don't have someone who immediately decides to be on the right and then you're going to make them general of everything. Like I said, no, you got to grind with everyday folks. You got to go and maybe do some fundraising or start with some lower level races. That's what I don't understand, right? I never understood that. Like congressional 26th district in Texas is a weird race because you got a number of people running for it. And some of them have, you know, some of them been in the private sector. Some of them literally haven't. They lived at, you know, their father-in-law friends' places in New York City and all this type of stuff. Never worked in the private sector. Never did the work of helping other to propel other people into office and then wait until a seat opens up and then relocate from New York here and then decide that you're going to run to be a member of Congress, not for any other smaller seat. I mean, you're 20 something compared to like the guy that I like in the Texas 26, my mayor, John Huffman, who has been in the fight, has been doing all this stuff. I don't trust people who haven't proven themselves to the voters. And I really don't trust people who don't put an ounce of work into the cause and then immediately want to run for the top office they can get and demand that you vote for them. And then they try to spin their previous apathy and their previous absence in the trench with you as being a quote unquote outsider when that's such a lie. I can't stand that. I don't trust. I immediately am partisan against anybody who comes at it from like that. It's just weird. Like I said, welcoming someone to your side and then immediately making them the boss of you, for the lack of a better way to say it, or the boss of the party, or number two in the party, is not the way to do it. They're two entirely separate things. But a lot of people try to conflate it and say, oh, well, if I thought you like having people come to the right, having someone decide to support the Constitution is entirely different from making them the second most powerful person in the country. Are you high? Two entirely different things. I saw this op-ed. Golly, it's making the rounds today. The headline, and it's over at The Cut. Can parents prevent their sons from sliding to the right? It's about as bad as you would think it is. A friend of mine said, my privileged, coddled, misogynistic, white male heterosexual sons think the system is out to get them. Why? I mean, it is literally, it is so stupid. The woman who wrote this literally called her own sons oppressors in training and then wonders, why are they ostracized? Why do they feel like they're on the outskirts of society? Maybe because bees like you write poorly written columns like this. I mean, I it's just wild to me. This is the kind of stuff dudes have to deal with. Yeah, they, I mean, it's, I cannot believe how long this piece is. It's a bunch of navel-gazing nonsense. And she writes a column basically targeting her own kids' belief systems and just by nature being who they are, and then wonders literally in the same column why they feel like they're being ostracized. And that is amazing to me, the lack of self-awareness in some people. Good heavens. You know, this is how you get those baby girl dudes. We had that remote just last... No, you don't want to know. We have more on the way. Our friend Steve Yates is going to be joining us coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So they say that there is the... Actually, hold up. Let me do this one first. This is the first alcohol-free bar in Sacramento. I don't care. I'm not going to give the bar free advertising. But I just think if you're going to be in California, you need all the liquor that you that is available to you in order to make it happen. I mean, you're going to a bar. I get it. People who want to be alcohol-free. Okay. I don't. Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to sit here and deal with butthurt people who are going to get upset if I don't immediately and zealously and enthusiastically affirm every single life's choice that they have, from whether or not they drink alcohol or whether or not they use two-ply toilet paper. God help us. But I just do think that this is, you're basically paying for overpriced juice. That's what it is. Why would you do that? That's kind of goofy. I think it's goofy. I think it's a shtick and it doesn't last long. Anyway, let's see here. So what, Flacco? Is that this? I thought it was Falco at first, and then I thought it was cool, but the name is Flacco, the owl. Oh, yeah. The Central Park Zoo owl. It's a Eurasian eagle owl, and it apparently flew into a building. So first we lose Al Bundy, my owl, and now we have Flacco, this owl I didn't know existed. He escaped from his vandalized exhibit at the Central Park Zoo and flew right into a building. And they said, yep, acute traumatic injury. He literally flew right into the building. Substantial hemorrhage under the sternum, around the liver. Otherwise, he was in good health. Yeah, so great. He flew into a building. Good job, people who vandalized his enclosure. And he escaped and flew into a building. Great job. Yeah, he was from February 2nd of last year. So it's almost a year. He made it a year. There you go. But he was drawing crowds all around Manhattan. It's kind of sad. The Seattle Space Needle is back open after an early morning fire. If you feel like going to that liberal hellhole and going to see the Space Needle there in the Pacific Northwest, because the needle caught on fire and now it's reopened. I know your whole day was made because you had that headline. Michigan authorities are searching for a couple who ran over a waitress after being confronted about an unpaid bill. This story... They said it, a lot of people getting run over. Michigan, they're searching for this couple. They were eating at this El Camino restaurant. They had a dispute over the service and food. They left without paying the bill for their meal. And they, golly, after leaving, they entered a 2005 to 2009 Mercedes C-Class. So they probably bought it new to them and they're feeling high on their farts. And then, of course, they drove away and ran over to their server. She was taken to the hospital to be treated for her injuries. We had the story coming out of St. Louis where a woman was straight up run over. I had this story a minute ago. We'll save it. We have Stephen Yates on the way. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've spent a lot of time with Xi Jinping, someone whom I have a great deal of difference with. And I was, when I was vice president, President My president was told me that he wanted me to get to know Xi Jinping because it was clear he was going to be the head of Russia, of China, and we were having problems with Russia at the time and other countries as well. And so what he said was, get to know him. He's going to be there. And he couldn't because he was the president. He couldn't travel. So I traveled 17,000 miles with him throughout the country, our country, and in China as well. We were in the Tibetan Plateau, and he turned to me and he said, can you define America for me? And this has been documented, it's real. I looked at him, I said, yes, I can, in one word. He looked at me, he said, what's that? And I said, possibilities.
That was Biden saying that he traveled 17,000 miles with China's Xi Jinping, whom he said was the head of Russia. Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's probably why we don't have any kind of real policy relating to China.
It's just a stutter.
Yeah, it's a stutter. Kane, how dare you make fun of his stutter? Right. That's the president of the United States, Joe Biden, for crying out loud. Let's go to we've got a million things we can ask him about. Stephen Yates at YatesComms on X. You guys know him. He's on with us every Monday. He's with the America First Policy Institute, and he's chair of the China Policy Initiative. 17,000 miles with Xi Jinping, whom he also says, Stephen, is apparently the head of Russia as well. So Sisi's also, you know, the head of Mexico, apparently, too. It's all confusing. I mean, who knows anymore? I just wanted to get I think it was at the governor's dinner or whatever. He sounded very tired. Just your initial thoughts on this, because that kind of stuff gets back to China, and China sees this, and geez.
Well, the Chinese actually keep records as opposed to, say, Americans, where there's no documentation for all of these frequent flyer miles. And was this on China's government jet, on America's government jet? Because I don't think the Chinese leaders actually get on America's jets and fly around. And what's he trying to beat some pop song to say he went 17,000 miles? Because that's going more than 10,000 miles.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, it's another version of him trying to be hip. I mean, all of this is more than just a little bit crazy. And who cares how many miles you might have gone? You say you spent all this time and you supposedly know this guy. So did you know that they were cooking up a coronavirus that was going to go out and hit the world? Did you know he's the kind of guy that would put some fentanyl precursors in there and take over the money laundering for the cartels? Did you know he might be sending some military age men across our border undocumented to do who knows what? So, I mean, what was the point of all of this? I mean, way back many, many moons ago, I remember the vice president reaching out to try to get to know the next leader of China, and we took that as a special project. And the one thing that stood out to me in 2002 was how little anyone in our government really knew about this stuff. So all Joe Biden's experiment proves to me is the deep state knows even less over time.
But apparently even less. And now we're seeing all of these. I was trying to look at the number that Bill Malugin was giving. You got thousands of Chinese nationals coming across the southern border now. Is that seems to me unusual, because I don't ever remember Stephen's stories in the past talking about people coming from different countries around the world. I don't ever remember hearing all these people from China coming in across the southern border.
Or other places. I mean, there was a concern after 9/11, what kind of composition of migration might there be? After all, if there were groups that were willing to send people to learn how to take off but not land planes, they might be looking to come across our borders with who knows what. And there was an Iranian assassination plot that was aimed to take place on U.S. soil, and it was tied into those migration flows. So this has been a topic of concern. But it turns out when you put out a big green go signal to the world, after a little bit of time, everybody wants to come. So there's people from all regions of the world that have now started to mix in. And I'm not shocked that you have a lot of working age, military age Chinese males that are making these treks too. And they might be carrying things themselves, or they might be hiring American mules to do their dirty work for them. But what's clear is the go signal was extremely dangerous. And we don't just have things flying over our territory now. We have people coming into our territory.
Ooh, speaking of that, flying over the territory. So the Pentagon, there's a brand new high altitude balloon intercepted. They think that this one is likely a hobby craft. And this was after they shot down the other one that was literally like a, what was it, a high school Kane, it was like a high school experiment, weather experiment. The Pentagon says that the latest high altitude balloon, it was a hobby craft. It wasn't a Chinese spy balloon. Yeah, that's all. It's a small, you know, just a threatening, non-threatening balloon. It was intercepted. They said there was a fighter jet over Utah. They had NORAD confirmed it. Is it that difficult to tell the difference between a spy balloon from a hobby craft? Seriously, I mean, as somebody who has no experience with Chinese spy balloons, I mean, I just think that it might be kind of obvious. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it's quite the hobby to be high altitude these days. I don't know what it takes to get high over Utah, but it already starts out at high altitude, and I think it goes up from there. My maths might add up on that, but it's also several thousand miles from China. So if how do we know? And who is this hobbyist? Is it Joe Biden's friend Xi Jinping, who has a hobby of flying high altitude things?
Yeah, he's a hobbyist. That's a great point.
I don't know how we did, but basically, as an American, and I speak for all Americans on this, I want no Chinese hobby balloons over our country. How about we just start there?
Yes. I wanted to add this as well. China's hitting out at sanctions, criticizing NATO over Ukraine. So there's all, I think that there's a war over information right now, because they had some people saying that Ukraine was going to get some F-16s and they would be able to bomb Russian assets, etc. Although apparently it was like a misquote from some leader who said that maybe they could get some planes, but didn't specifically say F-16s or from where. And China has said, they've said that they're not arming Russia. The companies that have been hit by sanctions, though, from the EU, Britain, and the U.S., their ambassador told the United Nations that the alliance should, quote, refrain from acting as an agent of trouble, instigating bloc confrontation. The irony of this, Stephen.
Well, you would think that China would just say shut up, would shut up and just say thank you if American F-16s were going to a theater other than Asia. Because that's actually where the F-16s should be going, where China has engaged in a massive air power escalation, and American policymakers in their infinite wisdom have held back on the most advanced aircraft being sold to our allies in Asia in recent years. And so you would think that they would just, you know, say thank you for sending our material to a different part of the world. But of course, I'm sure that Xi Jinping or whatever Chinese-speaking leader was crossing their fingers when they said that they were not arming or sharing armaments or whatever the jargon may be with Russia, because just every war zone America has found itself in the last couple of decades, there have very obviously been Chinese armaments on the ground. And so this is just one of those things where if their lips were moving, they probably were lying.
Yeah. Well, which is, you know, kind of typical. This going into the sanctions and everything else, I keep seeing World War III trending. I wanted to kind of get looking at like a 30,000 foot view of all of this, because I know Russia and China do business together. I think that China's been helping Russia out from having their economy destabilized entirely, although China's economy isn't all that greater. But two weak entities does not a strong entity make. Knowing this and seeing all the scaremongering trends on social media, whether it's World War III or NATO and all this other stuff that, you know, you constantly have to have, what do they call them? The fact checks on all of the posts that they have on X now. What should, like, give it an example, if you can, this is a weird question, of what kind of headline would sort of get your antenna up of being like, this is different. This news story is different. This might actually be a real escalation. What kind of things make, like I said, kind of trip your antenna and that you look for and see as a little bit more than fear mongering?
Well, if I started to see the flow of this collaboration of do-no-gooders going toward the Asian theater, I think that would be opening up a lot of questions. Because it's one thing, it's very, very easy for middle powers and disruptive powers to break things, to disrupt things, to cause problems. It's a lot harder to corral power and pull it to where you want it to be applied. And so it's easy for China to give some fuel and some material to Russia's conflict with Ukraine and Europe and America. It's easy to flow things in the Middle East and sort of stir up the hornet's nest there and just see where the chips may fall. It's a lot harder to draw some of that power and material into a conflict where you've got a lot at stake in your own neighborhood. And so I try to look very, very closely at what's sort of the annoyances and the encroachments in East Asia, South Asia, and what are the things that might actually change some fundamentals and really lay the groundwork for something truly different. And I don't know that we'll get a lot of warning on that front, but that's, I think, what gives me the greatest concern. You know, to see China and Russia, Tehran, throw North Korea and Wiley, little rocket man out, doing bad things or trying to insulate against sanctions, I consider that to be dog bites man. The other stuff starts turning back into man bites dog if it's coming back at East Asia.
I think that's a really good point because they can't really handle that in their own neighborhood. It's a lot easier to throw rocks, you know, all the way, as you said, to the Middle East and that. But when that attention starts really shifting and the momentum, that kind of signals that they're ready for a little bit more. That is, yeah. Yay, now we have some nightmare fuel. That's great. Stephen Yates at YatesComms, always a pleasure. I hope that we don't have any interesting headlines for you next time because that means that we're not edging towards further escalation, but who knows. We always appreciate your insight, though. You're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course, you too.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Welcome back to the program. I was reading, this is actually a hysterical story. In fact, we were talking about all of it. I'm not going to say what it was. I'm not going to send Juan the thing so if he'll put it up on the simulcast. I'll get emails. So this was in, this is funny, it's in Ireland, right? This is in Belfast. And there was Cain. It's a stripper show of men for the ladies, for the lasses, you know. Right. And these dudes who were performing an exotic show for these lasses in Belfast, the women got mad because they were focusing more on their apparent athleticism and their Cirque du Soleil type acrobats. And the women didn't want to see that. They were just like, just take your britches off. And I just think it's hysterical that they got mad like that. And I had told you, Kane, I said, you know how like you got, what do they call a bunch of seagulls together? What do they call it? What, a big old group of seagulls, what do they call?
A flock?
A flock, yeah. What do they call a bunch of sheep?
A herd?
What do you call a bunch of women together? Nuts. It's nuts. That's the correct answer, ironically enough. I just think it's hysterical. I just thought it was funny. It's true. You know it is. It's true. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So we got Michigan tomorrow. Does anybody care? Their primary is tomorrow. Half of you didn't even know that. It's all right. We don't want to know it either. Not that, you know, we have anything against it. It's just...
The story out of Michigan, I think the media is burying, is how horrible Biden is polling with the Muslim community in Michigan.
Well, that's why he's been real weird about the stuff with Gaza.
Exactly.
That's why they want this bill to pass, because there's all these billions of dollars in here for Gaza. So he can go to Michigan and be like, hey, I was giving it to Hamas because it's not for Gaza. Let's be real. It's Hamas gets it because guess what? Hamas is the elected government of Gaza. Hamas runs every facet of Gaza, from the hospital to the aid groups, everything. That's why the aid's not getting anywhere. People act like they haven't been given no money to this area this entire damn time. That's all they've been doing. Hamas literally takes it all. They found all those kits that the UN had given over there for assistance, and they didn't hand it to any of the people. The terrorists were taking it. They were taking it. Good night. So it's like they act like nobody's ever given them any aid, and that couldn't be further from the truth. That's all they've given people this whole time is aid. So, but Biden needs to be able to go to Michigan and say, hey, look what I've done. That's also why he rolled back a lot of those requirements and a lot of the vehicle manufacturing with the air stuff and all that. He like paused a lot of those the provisions from being implemented. So it didn't hurt that a different aspect of voter coming out of Michigan. So I don't know. It's kind of, I mean, it's still early. in Michigan right now, but it's neck and neck. You know, it is. It's just not, I don't know. It's just the whole thing is at some point, keep in mind, the RNC has 8 million cash on hand. The DNC, what is it, 200 something million cash on hand? They've not even begun. They haven't even started. You just think that the primary period has gone on so long because Trump announced so early. This is actually just like still the early phase of it. I've never seen a primary where it's wrapped up like this. This is just the early, it just got started super, super early. But yeah, in Michigan, it's they're Biden and Trump are within the margin of error for each other. That's just the RCP average. I haven't looked elsewhere, but that's just the average. So he's been trying to do some. That's why I think too. It would be helpful if he replaced Kamala Harris with Big Gretch. Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan. Yeah. Just saying. All right, we got more. We got today in stupidity. Kane,
all right. Juan, this is Cut 23. This is America's favorite bartender, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is her on the results of Bidenomics. She's not happy. Listen to this.
Rent in New York City, just like across the rest of this country, has gotten out of control. Our housing crisis has gotten to such epic proportions that not just the poor, the working class, the middle class, right. Upper middle class people can't even afford to live in the city anymore. Anyone is leaving, it is the actual people that make New York City work. It's the working class.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I wonder why that is.
Everything that Bidenomics has ever done has absolutely killed the working class.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, thanks AOC. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.